produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today, GAO reports $1.4 billion anti-drug media campaign a clear failure. Requests spending stop immediately. The Government Accountability Office, the investigative arm of Congress, has determined that the multi-billion dollar White House National Youth Anti-Drug Media Campaign has only convinced America's youth that taking drugs is a regular part of society and has not served as a deterrent to drug use by minors. Previous reviews of the campaign performed by Weststat Inc. and the Annenberg Public Policy Center of the University of Pennsylvania at the request of the U.S. National Institute on Drug Abuse, or NIDA, presented similar conclusions, finding the White House media campaign actually fostered, quote, pro-drug, close quote, beliefs among teens most exposed to the government-sponsored ads. A 2006 study published in the journal Addictive Behaviors further reported that teenagers exposed to the campaign's anti-marijuana public service announcements are more likely to hold positive attitudes about the drug and are more likely to express their intent to use cannabis after viewing the advertisements. President Bush's budget for 2007 asks Congress for an additional $120 million to continue funding the ad campaign, a $20 million increase from this year. The GAO recommended the White House and Congress immediately stop the program. Drug czar John Walters dismissed the report, which was addressed to Republican Senator Kit Bond and Democratic Senator Patty Murray, who lead the Appropriations Subcommittee that handles the ONDCP. The National Youth Anti-Drug Media Campaign, initiated by Congress in 1998, has spent more than $2 billion in taxpayers' money and matching funds, producing and airing anti-marijuana advertisements, including several alleging that the use of cannabis funds international terrorist activities. The latter ads were eventually pulled in 2003, following waves of public and political criticism. We have links with more information about this story at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit NORML.org. Today on the Stash, we'll start by hearing part two of our interview with Julie Falco of Illinois Normal. Last week, Julie joined us for a very personal discussion about her diagnosis with MS, progression, treatment, and now regular use of medical cannabis. You can listen to part one of our interview with a link at normalaudiostash.com. Julie is on the board of Illinois Normal, and we're going to speak with Illinois Normal next week about what might be stirring in the Midwest. Now let's get to part two of our interview with Julie Falco, living with MS, medicating with cannabis. Julie, you've been very open about using medical cannabis and its benefits for MS. How have the people around you reacted to the beneficial medicine being cannabis?
Well, since I've been talking about it the last couple of years and talking out and speaking to people and getting reactions, I'd say the response that I've gotten personally has been, almost 100%, 99% supportive and for it, and yes, it should be legal. You should have this. What does it look? What it's doing for you? And nobody really, hands down, has any question or any doubt or any hesitation over being in support of this. I have not run across one person that has, you know, what do you want to say, heckle or not supported or completely disagree. And, you know, they might have their reasons if they feel, you know, it should be legal across the board or not. That's a different issue. But for medically, hands down, yes, I should have it as my medicine.
And Julie, what about your doctors and medical professionals? I know that you recently took part in a question and answer session with doctors at the University of Chicago Medical School. What were they asking, and, you know, how does this medical community of ours react to an MS patient using medical cannabis and gaining these benefits?
Well, from what I'm responding right now, I mean, I'll tell you what my doctors, I have a general practitioner doctor that I know I brought it up to initially, and she really didn't say anything supportive or non. And it kind of, talking to her, it made me feel like she just wasn't educated enough about it. She was more coming from the feeling of, you know, where the stereotype is still surrounded about, quote unquote, marijuana. And not, you know, in that fight of it, instead of looking at it as truly a medicine, because I know she wasn't as fully informed. My neurologist, Dr. Anthony Reeder, is at the University of Chicago. And he's also, he's an associate professor then. He was the one that helped set up this the grand rounds for the cannabis presentation. It was very well done, and it was mainly just, you know, very informative about the science. A lot of references to, you know, a lot of the information you'd find in the Scientific American article that was on the brain and marijuana. He's really supportive. He refers, you know, many patients and suggests them as an option. He's been very supportive in having me try to acquire the Sativex out of Canada too, and we try to apply for that through the Compassionate Use, the Investigational New Drug Program, to gain access to that, because that is legal for patients in Canada. So why not here? Or have specific MS patients. We got to try everything we can. So the doctors at the grand rounds at the meeting, they were very interested. The same questions of, like, exactly the response and how it affects me cognitively and certainly to see if there are any side effects. But yeah, just telling them the story of what would happen to me before and how this has changed by keeping a consistent amount in my system, that there's something that changes. And so I see and hear from them more interest and more curiosity, but there's still a struggle. There's still that tension in the air of trying to let go all the stigma surrounding it, you know, just surrounding the reefer madness attitude. But I think they're more interested in just, like, as this moves forward, cannabis, you know, really looking at it more medically and not just, you know, the stereotype image of what this is, and really seeing that, yeah, there's major benefit and they need to be on top of it.
Julie, I want to thank you so much for joining us again today, and I look forward to speaking with you in the future about Illinois Normal and your work there.
Oh, thank you, Chris. No, I appreciate it and love to tell you more.
Julie Falco is on the board of directors of Illinois Normal and also on the board of Illinois' Ideal Reform. We have links to both at normalaudiostash.com. Julie Falco is on the board of directors at Illinois Normal. We have links to part one of our interview last week at normalaudiostash.com. Now let's get to some music from guys who are on the main stage at Seattle's Hempfest. Here's Gypsy Foot the band. Thanks to Nolan for letting us air these tracks. Gypsy Foot the band, they were on the main stage at Seattle's Hempfest, and we have links to them at normalaudiostash.com. Now let's get to more of that incredible audio recorded at Seattle's Hempfest by our independent audio stash producer, Donna DiBianco. Today we'll hear event director Vivian McPeak presenting a number of important voices, including publisher and author Ed Rosenthal, Seattle City Councilor Peter Steinbrook with a very personal talk, Air America's Randy Rhodes, Dr. David Bierman, and the group Mothers Against Misuse and Abuse.
Yeah, well, this next guy fought the law and he won. He's probably responsible for more marijuana plants on the planet Earth than anybody else. You ever seen the Just Ask Ed column? And used to be in High Times. He's been in almost every pot magazine, man. He is the cat. He's going to tell you what he's been doing. His name is Ed Rosenthal!
Thanks, Vivian. Hello? Yeah. Okay. So I have to disagree with Sandy. She says nobody's ever died from pot. Well, you know, if a bale falls on you, you could die from that. Now, recently, I've become very interested in environmentalism. And, you know, I heard about all of this hazardous material, these hazardous materials called hazmats that have to be destroyed, and they have special means of destroying them and special incinerators. And one of the materials, believe it or not, that's considered a hazmat is seized marijuana. Yes, when the cops seize marijuana, it has to be specially handled as a hazmat material. And, you know, I felt a civic duty to help in destroying hazmat material. So I volunteered to become a hazmat specialist, and I'd like you to become one. I developed a special little portable hazmat incinerator. And whenever I see any hazmat material, I immediately seize it and destroy it by incinerating it. And can I get volunteers as hazmat incinerators? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, I was thinking about all of this hazmat material, and I thought about a few other things that could be, that's hazmat and could be destroyed. Like, let's say, all the laws that make marijuana illegal. And how about all the police regulations that you should beat hippies? And how about all, you know, as long as we're destroying hazmat material, I think one of the biggest hazmat materials in this country is President Bush. I say impeach and incinerate.
You know, we got some friends in the city council here. You voted them into the city council, and they know that. And they have actually stepped up to the plate for Seattle Hempfest. One of them's name is Nick Licata. And he's spoken here several times. And the other one you're about to see right now, man. Give it up to the guy you voted into office, a man who respects your freedom of speech, your freedom of assembly, who's come to the plate for Seattle Hempfest, our city councilman, Peter Steinbrook. Give it up!
Thanks, Vivian. Thank you. Wow. Okay, wow. This is unreal. This is just astonishing. This is my first Hempfest. Can you believe that? Yeah. And it feels great to be here with all of you. It is just a wonderful day, a wonderful setting. I've been hearing some of the speakers, some of my admirers, the chief, Norm Stamper, unbelievable. You know, what city in America would have their former chief of police speak out like he did for our rights, for drug reform, for legalizing marijuana and all the things that we know are right. And I just stand here in awe. So let's give it up for all of the great speakers for Norm Stamper that you've heard. Now, as I said, this is my first occasion to be here, if you can believe that. And I know it's not going to be my last because there is a lot of work to do. We can't just be talking to ourselves here. We cannot just be preaching to the choir. There's got to be more politicians who will stand up more decision makers, more lawyers, more people in the mainstream out there to speak up for what we all know here today is right. Now, I am here because some of my beloved constituents have been speaking up around town, and they've been telling me we've got to work for change. We cannot accept the status quo. And I'm thankful for them, and especially Abby over here, who has educated me on some of these issues. And so I want to tell you, 25 years ago, I was astonished to find that my grandmother was smoking pot. My granny, my Scandinavian grandmother. Now, you know, she was in her 60s, but she had a lot of pain. And I think one of my brothers or cousins turned her on to help what ailed her. And we need to change the law today. How is it possible that we can have an initiative passed by 60% of Washington State voters to legalize medical marijuana, but it's still criminal? You're still a criminal trying to get it or trying to grow it for those who need it. That's got to change, right? Yeah. So all of you who live here in Washington State and are constituents of our legislators, you've got to let them know that we have got to make it possible for people to get what they need and not be criminalized doing so. So I'm going to work on that one. I'm committed to it. But I also committed to the bigger challenge, which is drug reform. If the entire country of Mexico can legalize limited use of drugs for individual, personal use, and everything out there, by golly, we got to do that in this country too. It only makes sense. We are wasting millions and millions of dollars in the criminal justice system, busting people for what they should have a right to do.
She served the country and the armed forces, but that wasn't enough. She's been serving the country on the airwaves. She's infinitely more beautiful in person than she is on radio. She's going to be your MC for the next 2 hours. She's going to introduce the champions. Her name is Randy Rhodes! Give it up, show your love, come on!
Good morning, good afternoon, hi. So you realize how much money the government spends on trying to keep pot away from you? Does anybody have a hard time finding pot? Money well spent, right? For the amount of money they spend, they should come here, roll you a joint, and light it for you. That would be the best way to spend that drug war money. Anyway, I will talk to you later. I just wanted to bring on a wonderful band on this glorious day. It's beautiful in Seattle. Thank you for having me here. I love this place. I've been here like twice in the last month. I smoked the pot. And typically I don't, but I just did. So you're the first people I have gotten high with in about 15 years. Thank you. And I feel better. Thanks for having me. This is incredible. The pink buckets are going around just like Change for Change. Every nickel, every dime, every quarter, everything helps, okay? Because people get arrested for this. Listen, I depend heavily on the First Amendment, as you might know. I was actually sued by one of the biggest defense contractors in the world, Khaki, who tortured people at Abu Ghraib. That's because George Bush doesn't smoke pot, so he tortures people. He does the blow, though. That's why he tortures people.
Kirk Toussaint is a criminal defense lawyer based in Vancouver, B.C. He's general counsel to the B.C. Marijuana Party. And he is the chair of the Drug Policy Committee of the B.C. Civil Liberties Association and a member of the B.C. 3 extradition legal team. Give it up! In School of Medicine, he served as a consultant to Americans for Safe Access on Standards of Care. He successfully sued the Medical Board of California to protect patient privacy, and he was joined by the California Medical Association with an amicus brief. And I really want to mention that he's published in the Journal of Psychoactive Drugs, the Harvard Business Review, the New Physician, the Journal of Social Issues, and he recently published Demons, Discrimination, and Dollars, a brief history of the origins of U.S. drug policies. Give a warm Seattle welcome to Dr. David Behrman.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here. Is there anybody in the audience who thinks it's a bad idea to arrest people who are sick because we don't like their medicine? I see a show of hands. And how many people think that it's wrong. I think people didn't hear the question. Do you think it's a good idea to arrest sick people? The answer would be no. Do we think that sick people should be able to get better using medication that an administrative law judge for the Food and Drug Administration said was one of the safest therapeutic agents to mankind? Shouldn't people be able to use that? Yes! These are not trick questions, folks. You got to follow the bouncing ball. Okay, look. I wrote my book, which is called Demons, Discrimination, and Dollars, because the drug laws make no sense when I try to look at them as a physician or as a scientist. But when I start taking a look at them as a way to marginalize people, a way to put them in jail, and of course, all of us are them. We're not us, we're them. And this has been going on not just for 50 years, not just for 100 years, but it goes back at least to the witch hunts. And that begins to give you some understanding of the insanity of what's going on, because this is a contemporary witch hunt. And we don't want any more contemporary witch hunts. Now, one of the things I want to ask you in the minute that's remaining to me here is to stand up. And you've had all kinds of people talk to you about standing up. Vote. Make trouble. One person can make a difference. I sued the Medical Board of California to protect the patient privacy. The patient refused to waive his right to privacy when the Medical Board wanted to investigate me for recommending marijuana. And we won a published opinion in the appellate court. It said the Medical Board of California did not understand our medical marijuana laws. It said the Medical Board of California didn't understand their own authority. It said the Medical Board of California hadn't read the letter that I had written that they were saying, oh, this indicates that the doctor practiced bad medicine, even though the patient didn't say so. Don't let the government get away with this kind of crap. Every time that you have a problem, you need to stand up. You need to take reasonable action. Debbie Goldsberry told you what to do when you're arrested. Talk to your doctor. One of the most effective things you can do in terms of getting people to utilize medical marijuana is to tell your doctor it works for you.
A physician with a mission. Well, there's a real program. That's not a scare program. It's a care program, man. It's called Mothers Against Misuse and Abuse. Sandy Burbank, give it up.
Thank you, Vivian. Hey, everybody. I hope you're having a good time. I'm glad this is the last thing I'm going to do because I want to go sit down and relax, and you know what I mean. I've been with Mothers Against Misuse and Abuse for 25 years. When people say, what have you donated? I can say that I and my family have donated 25 years of our lives. And now my daughters, the youngest that is 11, are here staffing our booth today. And we've been doing something called the Mama Truth Squad. And I invite all of you to join me. This is the Mama Truth Squad. Now, we have these on our website. You can make one yourself. The first sign says, tell the truth. Now, you can use these signs for a lot of reasons, but we find them very effective when we go to meetings where people are going to be talking about the new, stronger marijuana, 60 times stronger than in the early 90s. We haven't been able to find any of this, much to our regret, nor have they been able to produce it. So, when they start doing what they do so well, lying, we hold up these signs. Make sure they're printed front and back so everybody can. We have a chart called the drug hazard potential. When you look at it, you look at all kinds of legal drugs, and what do you find out? If a lady challenges the truth, then the rest of you look like real wusses for not joining her. So I hope you'll join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy Burbank. How can people find out about you?
Mamas.org.
That was incredible audio recorded up at Seattle's HempFest. Thanks again to independent audio stash producer Donna DiBianco for helping us capture that audio at Seattle. You can still help out Seattle's HempFest to make it an even bigger event next year. Just visit HempFest.org and make your donation online. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow.